Let us pray. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. The text for our meditation this evening is the gospel lesson read just a moment ago from Matthew chapter 13. Again, you can find it in your Bibles on page 691 and 692. As Jesus tells several parables to teach us. Jesus in these parables is speaking of the value of the kingdom of heaven, of the blessing that God above all wants to bring to us as his people. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Or again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, or the old translations have, a pearl of great price, he went away and sold everything he had and bought that pearl. It's a way of describing how valuable God's kingdom really is, the kingdom of heaven. And a parable, again, just has one main point, and we shouldn't stretch all the details. This doesn't mean we can buy heaven or just stumble upon it in some way or another. But it is mainly speaking about the value of heaven, the kingdom of heaven, and as the scriptures tell us, how it comes to us centered in Jesus our Savior and what he has done for you and for me. Scriptures keep saying over and over again, heaven comes as a gift of God through Christ our Lord. John wrote, these things in the Bible are written that you may know that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing in him you may have life in his name. Simply trusting in what Christ has done for us brings us eternal life, makes us part of the kingdom of heaven. And that's a gift from God, even to believe those things. Or Paul writes in one of his letters, again speaking of the scriptures and what they're really pointing to, how from infancy you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for this purpose above all, Paul is writing, that you may be wise for how you might be saved, how you might be part of the kingdom of heaven. And again, it's simply through faith in Christ and everything that he has done for us as our Lord and Savior. That's the hope that we find throughout the scriptures. The kingdom of heaven is a great and a wonderful blessing. In fact, the greatest of all blessings. And we are prepared for our future, we're prepared even for the end, by faith in Christ and being part of that kingdom, having that discovery that the Lord has brought us to. You remember that Jesus tells another parable. He says that the kingdom of heaven is like a net let down into a lake. And all kinds of fish are caught until it's full. And when it was full, the fishermen pulled it on the shore. And they sat down and collected the good fish in baskets, but threw the bad ones away. Jesus says that's a picture of what it will be like at the end when he returns. There will be a day of judgment, dividing those apart from Christ from those who follow him. Again, the good news is, in Christ, we are part of that kingdom of heaven. We know that we will be gathered in for life everlasting by faith in him. And that's the good news that the scriptures always wants to bring to you and to me. And it's so necessary for us to hear again and see again that good news. Because there are plenty of people around who've never really seen it or discovered it in their own lives. This week I had contact with two incoming freshmen who are coming to Purdue. Neither of them has been involved in any church, knows nothing about the Bible, basically, other than having gone to worship a couple of times in their life. They're starting with no background, and there's much for them to learn, and above all, to see what the kingdom of heaven is like above all the gift of God and the importance of Jesus. With many like that all around us, it's a reminder we have opportunities to share the good news of Christ with others, that they too might discover, sometimes for the first time, how good and merciful and loving God really is. But there are also many who've been misled and have been taught the wrong kinds of things in life as well. We looked at this scripture passage in a Bible study I do with some faculty and staff people, and we were talking about this on Tuesday, and one of the people said, "Don't the Mormons, the Mormon Church, have a book called The Pearl of Great Price?" And they do, but I had to go back and look that up to see what that book actually says. It's really based upon this particular passage, and it's one of a number of books that they have other than the Bible. And they have a lot of additional books that are really more important than Scripture. And The Pearl of Great Price, in their estimation, when you open up that book, has all to do with Joseph Smith, their first leader, what he says and what his history was. Really doesn't talk about Christ and how important he is for us as our Savior. In fact, there's a whole section of The Pearl of Great Price which tells us that what we have in the Old Testament is incomplete and even incorrect in certain parts. And so this Pearl of Great Price includes a book of Abraham that tells things that supposedly the Bible got wrong, including the idea that there's not just one God, but as Mormons say, there are many gods and goddesses, and they have a whole number of ideas like that, very different from Scripture itself. Yet to some, that's the pearl of great price, that kind of thing. Again, very different from Jesus' simple presentation of the gospel, of the good news, and by faith in him, there really is life, and that's the treasure that really counts for us and is really very important. Some people don't know and haven't discovered this. Others have really been misled and mistaught. But even for those of us who know and know of Jesus, it's easy to forget that it isn't us, but it's God himself and his work entirely that makes us acceptable and brings us into the kingdom of heaven. Remember those words of our Old Testament lesson, where God told his Old Testament people that they were holy, but it wasn't because of their greatness or their numbers, the Lord said, but simply because the Lord was merciful and he cared about people, and so he reached out and rescued them from slavery. In the very next chapter after that, Deuteronomy 7, in chapter 8, he reminds his people that he'll bless them, help them to enter a land, and have many good things happen for them. But then he warns them, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large and your silver and gold increase, then your heart might become proud, and you might forget the Lord your God who gave you all of these blessings. So the reminder is, you may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands that produced all this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gave you the ability to produce wealth and so to have all of those blessings. Again, a reminder that we can forget very easily as we go about our daily life the gifts and blessings of God and get all wrapped up in ourselves instead of him. In the next chapter, in the ninth chapter of Deuteronomy, God also gives this warning that as you go into this land that the Lord has promised, you may think it's because of your righteousness, your goodness, that God is allowing this. And he says, understand then, it is not because of your righteousness that the Lord your God is giving you this good land to possess, for you are a stubborn, a stiff-necked people. He goes on to talk about some of their sin and rebellion against him. not because they had earned or deserved these blessings. It was a gift from God in love for them, and his call simply to trust and follow him and to trust his good news that he brought to them. And that's still how it is for us too. It's through Christ that we have confidence. It's not our numbers and our greatness. It's not the things we can do, not our righteousness. It is a gift of God in which we trust for our life and for our future. Remember those words of our second lesson for this evening, where Paul spoke of the fact that it's God who can take every situation and turn it for some good in his life. Problems and struggles we have, God can be at work for our own good. And in fact, as we trust in Christ, there's nothing that can separate us from God's love. Again, not because of our greatness, entirely because of Jesus. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, the sacrifice of Christ on the cross to forgive our sins and make us acceptable, if he gave us his son in that way in love, will he not also, along with Christ, graciously give us all things we need, and above all that kingdom of heaven comes as a gift from God. It is the greatest of treasures. And so Paul writes then, I'm convinced that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. But again, the reminder is, even though we've heard this many times, kind of set it aside, not think about it much, or not even to appreciate how great this gift of God really is. And we're called, in a sense, to keep rediscovering that and rejoicing in the greatest gift, Christ our Lord. You might remember that Jesus said one last thing at the end of these parables. Have you understood all these things? Jesus asked. Yes, they said. Of course, we know from reading on in the Gospels, they really did not fully understand all these things. They were saying they had it all figured out. They hadn't really. There was still more to learn and to understand and to continue to rejoice in the gift of Jesus our Savior. So Jesus said to them, therefore every teacher of the law who has been instructed about the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old. So much the Lord has to tell us in the scriptures, new things we can learn and understand in a better way. There's also the old treasures, things we already know about, but sometimes take for granted, and we're called to keep looking at those too. Above all, the greatest gift, Christ our Savior, and the kingdom of heaven, the eternal life, which comes by faith in him. Let us pray. Lord, we confess to you that many times we take for granted your gifts. We don't realize how wonderful they are and how amazing your grace and love really is for us. Allow us again this evening to rediscover that truly good news for our life and for our future. Not because we deserve it in any way, but because of your great love in Jesus our Savior. Keep us always close to him, confident in his love, and that nothing can separate us from him as we follow our Lord. In his name we pray. Amen.